welcome to week six of our sixth installment of our series, How to Live Through a Bad Day. Want to welcome all those that are right now just now joining us online. We're glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, everybody. Can we welcome those who have just joined us online? Glad to have you with us today on this Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. And so before I give you the foundational verse that we've been using for this series, I want us just to reference a scripture that is found in John chapter 12 and verse 13, right up front, this being Palm Sunday, that says this: they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." As I just stated a moment ago, that was on Palm Sunday, but things quickly changed. The same crowd that was singing praise to him began to shout, "Crucify him," by the end of that week. And they took our Lord, the innocent lamb, and nailed him to a tree. He went to the cross for you and I to pay for our sins, pay for a debt that we couldn't pay on our own. Jesus stepped in and he paid our debt for us. In that moment, though, hanging on the cross, Jesus makes seven statements. You have to look at all four Gospels to see all of these recorded, but there are seven statements that Jesus made. And so we're building a series around these seven statements, and we're going to be concluding next week with our seventh installment of this message on Easter Sunday. You do not want to miss this one. It's going to be phenomenal as we look at the final thing that Jesus said while hanging on the cross, and I believe it's going to set some people free in Jesus' name. In fact, I want to say next Sunday again. Let me say that again. Easter is next Sunday. So I want to encourage you, if you're watching online and you live in this area, come and join us on our Easter Sunday next Sunday. We begin at 10:30. And I want to say to those of you that are here in the house, invite. Everybody say it.
Invite.
Invite. Invite. Invite. Now what you do when you invite, you don't just say, "Hey, we're having church Sunday, maybe you could come. Maybe you could come sometime." No, you're going to get real specific and you're going to say, "This is Easter. This is the Sunday you need to be in God's house." They say that when you're inviting people to church, Easter is one of those days on the calendar that's probably the most responded to invite days. So if you're ever going to invite somebody, this is the day to invite them, that they'll come and respond when normally they wouldn't come. So I'm going to encourage you to invite people to come on Easter Sunday. And this is the way you do it. Don't just say, "Well, hope you'll come." No, what you need to say is, "I'll meet you there. Come go with me. I'll meet you before church. We'll grab breakfast, or we'll have coffee at the cafe before service, in the lobby. I'll sit with you." And so bring them with you and invite people to come. And come on, let's fill the house next Sunday. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Come next Sunday, come early, be ready for those that when they get here, you know, it's embarrassing when you got new people and your regular people, you know, you're saying, come on, we need you to be here. Come on, to be our welcome greeters. You may not be on the greeter team, but I deputize you right now to be a greeter. Come early. Come on, be ready. It's Easter, everybody. You know, and you say, "Well, some churches even get up for a sunrise service." We're not doing a sunrise service. So be sure at least to get here early, okay, and invite people. But next Sunday is going to be the finale of this series that we're looking at, How to Live Through a Bad Day. Let's go ahead right now and jump into this message and look at the foundational scripture that we're using as our theme verse for this series. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in." So the key to this race is to keep your eyes on Jesus. He demonstrated to us how to do that. And it says, study how he did it. So that's what we're doing in this series. We're studying how he did it. And it goes on to say, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. I don't know that we can put up with anything, but like Jesus did, he was amazing, but he's teaching us how we can live through our bad day, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. So he's demonstrating how we can do that. So we're looking at this, and I encourage you to go back online if you missed any of this series. All this is archived at crosspointworshipcenter.com and our message archives, and you can go in and listen to any of these that you have missed. And also there's some message notes that you can download there as well. The first week we talked about the first statement he said, which was, Father, he said, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And so he demonstrated when we're having a bad day, the first thing you need to do is forgive everybody that's trying to ruin your life. Okay? So that's foundational. Be sure and get that one. The next week we talked about being compassionate, how he remembered the other guy on the other cross and said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. So he was compassionate. While he was having a bad day, he was still compassionate. So when we're having a bad day, we still need to be compassionate. And then also being aware, that was the third week. While you're going through something, be aware you're not the only one going through something. There's other people around you. And actually, when you begin to focus on other people, it actually helps you in your bad day as well. And then week four, we looked at this principle, and that is to be assured. Where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he had questions. And it tells us we can have questions too, but we can be assured that he is with us. Even when it seems like he's not, he is with us. Amen? And so be forgiving, be compassionate, be aware, be assured. And then last week we looked at be transparent when Jesus, though he was God, yet he demonstrated his humanity in expressing a need that he had. And he said, I am thirsty, while hanging on the cross. And so it teaches us that we need to be transparent and we need to be vulnerable. We need to be open. We need to be able to take the mask off and be transparent so somebody could come and help us at a point of our need as well. So that was last week. Be sure and check that out. But that leads right into this week's message, because it was right after that they took that sponge and put vinegar on it and lifted it up to Jesus, that gall of bitterness, that bitter gall that they pushed up to him and to his lips. It was then after that he made this statement that we see in John chapter 19 and verse 20. You have message notes there. You can follow along. We'll also have it up here on the screen for you. But look at what he said here. He said these words in verse 30. He said, it is finished. It is finished. The word that he said there was really a Hebrew word that was tetelestai. Tetelestai. And that word actually it has great meaning, and it simply means it is finished. I have to tell you, I'm a guy that sometimes will wear these little wristbands. I've got one that says pray first. Reminds me, no matter what I do, I need to pray first. Right? At the beginning of the day, before I send the email, before I take the phone call, pray first. I got another one that talks about growing, and that reminds me I need to be growing, constantly growing, getting closer to the Lord. Well, I got a third one this week, everybody. I was walking through the mall, and I passed by. I was up here at Concord Mills Mall, and there was a guy out there selling these plaques with scriptures on them and verses. And I walked by, and I saw one, and I back up to read that again and read the scripture where that one plaque he had made up. And he saw me stopping, and he said, "Hey, can I give you something?" And so he gave me this wristband with the word tetelestai on it. And then he said, let me explain to you what that word means. And it was great. He stood there and he began to tell me about what it meant when Jesus said, it is finished. It meant it is finished. And in fact, he gave me this little thing with it. So I'm giving this guy a shout out today. I thought that was great. He gave me the gospel in a nutshell. He explains it on here. He said, it is finished. And all of our sins have been paid for. That's what Jesus did for us. The name of let me just give him a shout out, revelationculture.com. Go there, check him out. So he stood there not knowing I was a pastor, and he shared with me the gospel. I thought, this guy is awesome, man. He's standing there in the mall, and he's sharing the gospel by way of just a little wrist bracelet there. And so I'm putting that on, and I told him, I said, well, as a matter of fact, that's my message Sunday. But here's what it means. It means it is finished. It is finished. And I want us to see what this statement really says here, and that is that this was a faith statement, because there's many people that think in this story that that's the last words that Jesus said, but that is not the last words that he said. It is finished was not his last words. We're going to talk about that next week, where he commits his spirit to his Father. So the point is that before he was through his bad day, it wasn't really fully finished. He was still in the midst of his suffering, still in the midst of his pain, still in the midst of paying for our sins. And right there in the midst of it all, he made a faith statement when he said, "It is finished." Because he had yet to take his last breath. But yet he was declaring already in faith that what he was there to do had been accomplished. Before it was over, Jesus declared it was over. Before it was really fully accomplished, he declared it's accomplished. Before it was finished, he said, it's as good as done. And what I believe what Jesus is telling us through this is that when we're in a bad day, we need to have a faith statement that rises up within us and declares, I may be here now, but my deliverance is good as done. I may be here in this thing right now, and I'm in the midst of it. I'm in the middle of it right now, having this bad day, this bad moment, whatever I'm going through, whatever that looks like for you. But there needs to be some faith rise up inside of us to declare that this may be where I am, but this is not where I'm staying. This may be what I'm experiencing right now, but this is not the end of the story. Because my Father has already declared, it is finished, right? Jesus declared, it is finished. Amen? And so, understand that when we're having a bad day, we need to make sure that we don't despair when we're almost there. And we give up short of the finish line. Oftentimes, we draw wrong conclusions based on the moment we're in right now, and we fail to realize that God has already declared our victory and our win. It is finished. Our debt has been paid. And our redemption, our freedom has already been purchased. Another way of phrasing this, it is finished, is it is accomplished. Everything that you and I will ever need, have ever needed or ever will need, has been provided for on the cross. Every debt, every sin, every mistake, every failure has been paid for. Everything that you ever have need of has been provided for. If you need healing, it's provided in the cross. And I, by the way, footnote, we believe that Jesus is still the healer today. The great physician has not closed up shop. Can I get an amen right there? He has not closed up shop. What he did 2,000 years ago is still applicable today. And not only that, not only your healing, but he has also purchased your peace. So I don't know if you walked in here with no peace and in turmoil and confusion. Can I tell you that he has purchased our peace for us? So the declaration he made on the cross, it is finished, is a faith statement. He was still on the cross, still enduring his worst day. This series, we're actually basing this series off of a book that was written by Pastor Jack Hafer from California entitled How to Live Through a Bad Day. And I haven't done this up to now, but in this installment, I just want to give you a little portion of what he says in this part of this book regarding this word, it is finished. And in his book, he writes this, and I quote, "Tetelestai, it is finished." The most significant single word in the Greek New Testament translates to the most triumphant declaration. It contains both a prophecy and a verdict. Jesus, the Son, prophesied the momentarily impending conclusion of his saving work. And even before the cross's finale, he anticipated the Father's verdict and his ultimate intervention. The atoning sacrifice of the Lamb was accomplishing eternal salvation. The deliverance of mankind was as possible as Israel's deliverance was from Egypt more than a millennium before. The dawn of world redemption had broken, and with it the chains of human slavery to sin, shame, and condemnation were being shattered. Though they were the most climactic, those were not the final words spoken by the Savior from the cross. He would shortly commend his spirit into the Father's hand, but he was already, get this word, confident. His declaration of triumph was being registered. The grounds were now established at a dual dimension, welcoming fallen humans back into fellowship with the Father and driving back the powers of evil from their dark and damning rule over mankind. The essence of the magnificence in these words is their finality as a statement of faith. The ultimatum they declared was absolute, even though the victory was not yet visible. It is finished, was the Son of God's invitation to join him in the conviction that now, because of the cross, there is nothing we struggle with that is without either a purpose or an end. End quote. So here's the thing. When you're in the middle of your bad day and you can't see the why, I mean, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Or the when am I ever going to get to a better place? Why am I going through this? And when will things ever get better? We can do this. Write this down. We can be confident that there is a purpose and an end. There is a purpose and there is an end. Luke 1:68 says this, "Blessed be the name of the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." He has declared redemption and he has accomplished this for us. There was a mission in mind here. There was a purpose in all of this for you and I, but not only that, there was an end. So it was really a mission accomplished statement. And we learn a couple of things from this statement. Number one, write this down. No struggle need ever again be pointless. Even on our worst of days, there is a purpose. God can use our bad days. And I'm not saying God sends the bad days. Nothing happens that God doesn't allow it, and in his allowing it, there is a purpose for it. In our bad days, God can use the bad days to point us to him. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Job and how he had this difficult struggle. And I want to tell you, in our struggle, we need to recognize it causes us to recognize our need. Job had a really, really bad day, lost everything. And yet in the midst of that, he recognized he had a lot of questions. There was need there. But in the struggle, he also discovered who God is, and he was everything that he needed. And the same goes for us. In our struggle, it causes us, in our bad day, in the midst of it all, the point of it is that we recognize our need, but not only our need, but we recognize who is the answer to our need. Amen? And that he is everything that we need. Here was Job. He had lost all of his possessions. He had lost his family. He lost his children. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his health. He lost everything except his wife. And some were saying, that might have been a good thing. I know that sounds harsh, but because, I mean, here he was. He was, from head to toe, he was covered with his boils and these sores, and he's over there with a broken piece of clay, pottery, and he's scraping himself. And his wife comes up to him and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I mean, you know. And so I heard somebody humorous. So you got to find a little humor in this, folks. Somebody was saying how the devil, when he was discussing what to do to Job, that, you know, the demons were saying, "Well, why don't? What about his wife? His wife's still remaining." And the devil says, "Well, no, just leave her. Just leave her." He knew what he was doing in leaving her. Come on, y'all, see the humor in that. Help me. Because she was no help. She was no help. But here was Job. And I wanted to see, and I want to revisit this for just a moment, and this is not in your notes, but notice what Job discovered in this. And I'm making the point that no struggle need ever be again pointless. There was a point in this, and Job had some discoveries at the end of it all. Job 42, he says this, "Then Job replied to the Lord after all of his questions, and then God began to respond to him." who do you think you are? Where were you when I was forming the worlds? And it's okay to have questions, but you need to understand that I got this, okay? I'm still God. And so Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. And so he discovered that God is all powerful. He said, I know that you can do all things. So he found out through this that God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And then he said, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So you have a purpose in this. You're all knowing. He goes on to say, you asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. I don't know, but you know, God. So he discovered that not only is God all-powerful, but God is all-knowing. He's not only omnipotent, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows all things. And the fact that we don't know all things, I think we need to be okay with that. Sometimes we think we got to understand it all right here, but you don't want to serve a God that could fit just in here, right? We want to serve a God that's beyond our knowing, and God is all-knowing. Job discovered that through his struggle, through the point of his struggles, he discovered this. And then he goes on to say, you said, listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. So now he discovered that God just wasn't something to hear about. God was a God to be experienced. That I could see you now. I know who you are. I really know who you are now. So he discovered that God is also ever-present. So through Job's experience, he discovered that God is omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. He is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's all-ever-present. And so no struggle ever need to be pointless again. Psalm 126 says this, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And so there's a process there. So we're in the midst of it all. We don't understand what we're going through, but through that process, God's going to bring us to a place of joy. There may be weeping, but there's going to be joy at the end. And then there's an outcome, there's a result, carrying sheaves with him. There's a product that God produces in the end of it all. There is a point to it all. Romans 8:28, a verse I'm sure we all know very well. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He's got a purpose in it. There's a point to it all. There is a reason. We might not understand, but God's purpose, his plans, his ways are higher than our ways, so we trust him. Another reality that we see in this is that no suffering need ever again be unending. Write that down. Never again unending. You see, it's important when you're having a bad day to see beyond your bad day. To see with eyes of faith. Jesus' words were, it is finished. He declared, I'm in the middle of it right now. I'm still alive. I'm still suffering here. But it is finished. This is not going to last forever. This too shall come to pass, amen? And so when we're going through a bad day, I've seen people that are having a bad moment, a bad day, a bad season, maybe it's a bad year, but they're having a bad time, and the danger of that is that you fail to see beyond that. When you get sick, you think, I'll always be sick from now on. And you got to know I'm having a moment right now, but it's going to be better. You go home at night, you're tired, but guess what? You go to bed, you're going to be refreshed in the morning. I believe going to bed at night is not just a process of being, you know, tired from the day. It should be a preparation for the next day, right? So when you go to bed tonight, say, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. No, say, I'm going to go prepare for tomorrow, right? Right? So I'm going to look forward to the next day. There's a new day coming. I'm bad right now. It's not good right now. It's not looking good right now, but it is finished. God's already accomplished, and he's working all these things together for my good. So I'm looking beyond the now moment. I'm looking to tomorrow, and I know that God's got better things ahead of me. The best is yet to come. Amen, everybody? Right? All right. Come on. If you're going to clap, don't do a golf club clap. Come on. I know the Masters is on. Come on. If you're going to clap, clap right. Amen. Give God praise for that truth. Amen. So Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, "Weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning." So it's temporary. You got to look beyond that. It's never going to be unending. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 and 37 says this, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised." There's something coming. "For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay." And I'm going to say it again, God is never late. We just think He is. He's an on-time God. If anybody's late, it's us. You say, "I'm waiting on God." No, a lot of times it's Him waiting on us. He's ready, okay? But He doesn't delay. He's got a plan. It's in place. And I know the whole world may seem to be in an uproar right now. But I just want to remind you of something that you probably, some of you learned as a child. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. Well, we don't have to sing the whole thing. But anyway, He's got the whole world in His hands. And He's got you and me, baby, right, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And so we can be confident. And that's what this message is about. We can be confident in knowing that God's got us. In our bad day, let me give you this scripture that you need to take note of. We need to remember this scripture. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts." And I can't tell you the people I've seen who are having a bad day. We'll call it a bad day, but it's just a bad season. It's a bad time in their life. Who have process things wrong, therefore made wrong decisions and went down wrong paths because their thinking was skewed, because they thought it's finished in a bad way. They said, "My life's over, nothing good's going to happen here," when they didn't hold on to the truth where God said, "What's finished is your victory, your promise for a great outcome." And so the way we think, the way we process is extremely important, that we have the right perspective. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, "I am suffering, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced, I have confidence, that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day." What day? That bad day. That day when the doctor calls, that day when the bank calls, that day when things come against us and we don't know how to deal with, against that day. He says, "I'm confident, I'm convinced that God is able to keep that I have committed to Him." It's a faith statement. And after all, that's what faith is for. Faith is not for Sunday morning when everything's going well. Faith is for Monday morning when, come on, you hit Charlotte traffic. Faith is for when it does rain, that the sun is going to shine again. In fact, the truth of the matter is the sun is shining all the time. You just can't see it. There's clouds between you and the sun. But we forget that. Will the sun ever shine? It's shining. It's shining. It's always been shining. It's never stopped shining. You just can't see it. Sometimes it's on the other side of the planet. Nighttime, you know, other times it's on above the clouds, but it's always shining. Guess what? God's always there. You may not be able to see it all the time. You may not be able to understand it, but we have a confidence, and it's a faith statement. That's what faith is for. It's when we go through our bad days that we can make it through. So I want to give you some things that we need to declare. Write this down. Number one, I know, this is a confidence that we have. I know that God loves me. When you're having a bad day, you need to know that God's not mad at you. God's not up there and has abandoned you, but God loves you. God loves you. And it may be that we forget that. We think, "Well, I don't even know if He knows where I am right now. I'm crying a boatload of tears here and going through, and stuff, and I don't understand. Have I done something wrong? Has God left me? What's going on? There is a book in the Bible that's written just for those days. It's called Lamentations. Don't you love the Bible? It's a book that on lamenting and crying and weeping. But in this book, though, we see this scripture that's found in the third verse, third chapter, verses 21 and 23. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Okay, we need hope. We need to call something to our mind. We need to think the right way. And this is the truth that we need to remember. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. So I'm having a bad day, but I'm not consumed. Because there's a God who loves me. For His compassions never fail. So you can't do something bad enough to make God stop loving you. You can't go far enough that God can't come and reach you. His compassions, they do not fail. And then it says, they are new every morning. Aren't you glad God gives do-overs, new days? Great is your faithfulness. His faithfulness doesn't depend upon your faithfulness. He's just faithful. It's who He is. He cannot be untrue to Himself. He is a faithful God. And I got to remind you today, He's not mad at you. So you blew it. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. There's nobody that hasn't blown it. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And we think sometimes, when we mess up, God just says, man, He's up there shaking His head. You know, or He's got a gavel, He just wants to hit us on the head with it, you know. You big dummy, what'd you do that for? No, God is there with compassionate, merciful arms, great love, mercy that never fails, compassions that never fail, come on. Wanting to help us, knowing His plan for our life, He loves us. Look at the second thing, write this down. I know that God wants the best for me. I know that He wants the best for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And I got to emphasize that in Christ. That's where we discover the yes. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. He wants the best for us. He doesn't come to cramp our style, give us just a bunch of rules to make it all about the rules. No, He wants a relationship. Then the rules will take care of itself. I mean, that's just automatic. We just follow Him because we love Him. We're in relationship. But He wants the best for us. Matthew 7 and 11 says this, if you then, by contrast here, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? All He wants for you is good. Can I tell you, whatever God has to offer you is good. It's never anything to be afraid of. It's good. This was speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit, which we need Him to help us through our bad days. And our Heavenly Father knows that's a good thing. We need His help. And He offers that to us. So He wants the best for us. Number three, write this down. I know that God has a plan for me. He's a good father, as we just stated. He has good plans for His kids. It's called the plan of redemption. His kids many have lost their way, forgotten who they are, and He comes to rescue them. You know, sometimes we just forget who we are. I remember in my house, when my kids were little, we'd play these little board games, and you know how kids are. You know, they want to cheat. And I can still remember saying, oh, excuse me, our last name is Hobbs. Hobbses do not cheat. Okay, we are not cheaters. That's not who we are. You know, what I was saying was, the Hobbses are Christians. We don't do that. What I was saying was, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do the right thing. We're not going to do the wrong thing. And so I was reminding them, you have a name. You have an identity. That's who we are. And I think sometimes we forget who we are. My father used to say to me when I go out on dates, don't forget who you are. I'd never forget. And I'd be out on my date, and if I wanted to do something wrong, I'd ring in my ears, don't forget who you are. right? And I think what happens is God's children have forgotten, they forget who they are. God has a plan for your life, and we've forgotten what that is, and we've lost our way. We've forgotten. It's like Israel in bondage for so long, they thought they were slaves, and God said, I've got a redemption plan, and I'm going to send Moses to deliver, I'm going to bring you out of that, and I'm going to redeem you and help you discover you're not slaves. You're my kids. You're my children. You're king's kids. Amen? And you need to realize who you are. So there's a redemption plan God has in place. Same thing is true for us today. A plan of redemption. That's why we have our growth track that you heard about on our Crosspoint News. We want to help you discover your purpose. And God has a plan for your life. And know what that is. God has a plan for me. And it's good. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. So when we're in the middle of it, we're not going to lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary, everybody say that, momentary. Momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God has a tremendous plan that we can't even begin to imagine. And write this one down. Number 4. I know that God will bring me through. When I'm having a bad day, God's going to see me through this. 2 Timothy 4:18 says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, so you're saying, so which is he going to do? Is he going to rescue me or is he going to bring me home? Is he going to heal me or is he going to bring me home? The answer is yes. That's what he does. And in both cases, we win. And that's the attitude. That's what Paul was one that said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. So what he was saying was, they said, we're going to chop your head off if you keep preaching in his name. Oh, would you? I get to go see Jesus. Now, if I get to stay here, I get to talk about Jesus, tell about Jesus. But if I go, I get to be with Jesus. I don't know. You decide. How do you defeat a person like that? You don't. They're victorious. And that's what we're showing you today, is that when you're going through your bad day, God has promised that he's going to be with you, and he's going to rescue you, and yes, he's going to bring you home too. He's got that plan in place as well. Amen. So, look at Philippians. Let me give you this one last scripture. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says, for I am confident of this very thing. We're talking about being confident. And I know when you're in the midst of it all, you don't feel too confident. You feel unsure, and I'm trying to give you some braces that you can stand up on. We brought a scaffold in here this week, and it's got these extra little legs that stick out and brace the thing. That's a good thing, because I was scared to death when I got up on that thing. It stabilizes you. I'm giving you some stabilizers today, some confidence that when you're going through a bad day, look at this, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. One translation says, he'll complete it. He doesn't start something and then not finish it. What he has started in you, you may be in the middle of the, and when there's a construction process going on, isn't it a mess in the process? But when it's finished, oh, it's beautiful. Once the landscaping is in, once the final siding and everything, whatever that looks like, is on and everything's nice. Oh man, it's beautiful. But in the process, it's a mess. But God doesn't begin a project and then abandon it. Amen? What he begins in you, he's going to complete it. I'm going to speak that today over this church. What he has begun in this church, he's going to finish it. He's going to complete it. And it may not feel good right now, but God's going to finish it. Newsflash. When I speak of the church, guess what? You are the church. And whatever it looks like on your job, in your marriage, with your kids, your home, your finances, your health, I want to tell you, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Amen. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. And no matter what it looks like today, He's going to bring you through. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment today. You see, confidence is not just an attitude. It's born out of a relationship. It really is. Because I could try to pump stuff in you externally, but that doesn't work. That's just a motivational seminar, and that will last temporarily. But what we need is something to happen internally inside of us that will carry us through, that will see us through, that'll be with us no matter what. No matter who abandons us, whatever fails us, it remains. And that is that relationship with God. And that comes simply by a life that's surrendered to Christ. And you may be here today, or you may be watching online, and you're not at that place. You haven't really fully surrendered. Maybe there's an area of your life you've kept for yourself, and it's not working too well, and it's not producing peace in your life. And you realize that today you need to let Him finish His work in you. You need to declare in the midst of it all that God's already accomplished it, and you're going to just hand everything to God and let Him bring about His beautiful plan for your life. I want to give you an opportunity, if you haven't fully surrendered your life to Him, to do that today. I want to help lead you in a prayer, and all you have to do is mean it. But I'm just going to help you with the words. But if you're watching online, you can join with us. And if you're here today, I just want to lead you in this prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you stand or come to the front. I just want to pray with you. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift up a hand very quickly? Just lift up a hand and you put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with, who I'm praying with. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Good job. Let's pray right now. And I'd like to invite everybody in this place to pray out loud just to support those who need to pray this. If you're watching online, join us. You can let us know that you're responding. We'd love to send you some help with your decision, but join us today. Right now, would everybody just pray this? Just say, today, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you, and I give you today and all my days, my yesterday, my today, and my tomorrow. All my faults and failures I give to you. All my good and bad days I give to you. I invite you to come in. Make me brand new on the inside. Complete your work in me. And start me today on a new path of following you. So today I turn from my past. Turn from my mistakes. I accept your forgiveness and I follow you. With all my heart, I declare you to be in charge. Come on, say this. Today, Lord, I give you my life. God, I thank you for every person who has accepted you into their heart and into their life today. The best decision that they've ever made. I celebrate that with them. Father, I pray that you would help them wherever they are in this journey to know you, to follow you. Today is a day of turning from the past and turning to you. And Lord, as they follow you step by step, I pray, God, that they would discover more and more who you are and enjoy this wonderful relationship they have with you. God, today we thank you that you have begun a good work in us. And you are faithful to complete it. And God, for all accomplished in our life, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's thank God for these decisions made today. Amen.